Good afternoon. What a pleasure to be again with you on this way. Well, you know very well that my first language is Polish language. I can communicate easily in English, but you know, there is something, the great pleasure that I can from time to time appear in front of you. And I know, I don't know how many of you are over there behind the monitors, but anyhow, I do believe that you are there, and we have to think about that times we are living are very strange. Even Australians changed the mood, changed the custom. Did you notice that usually, as you met somebody, you usually ask the question, how are you? But not nowadays. We change the question. We change the question for, are you okay? Well, a moment ago, I had in my hands, you know, this magazine, Science of the Times, the latest number, and I noticed there something very interesting. They made the whole article, is it okay to ask, are you okay? Well, so I ask you, are you okay? Well, okay, fine, that's good. We are okay being here in Australia. We are okay, you know, just moving from one place to another place. And you know, we are okay that we are still healthy and grateful to the Lord for the blessings that we have all the time. And I would like to tell you that thinking about it, that we are in Australia, I just thought about it that you know, what kind of people we have around ourselves? Very religious, many of them. Even they are completely different than us. Not so far from the place where I'm living, I notice in one house passing by as I'm walking sometimes, you know, and I notice one lady in the evening, she's living in one house, and in the room that I can see through the windows, there are not curtains there, there is some kind of a little chapel. And I see this lady that she has some little altars around, and she's praying from one place to another. And I thought, well, she's a deeply believing person. Even she needs some kind of visualized God in this little altar. In fact, she's praying, she's just adoring his God. Well, what about the other ones? There was accidentally this week that I watched a little movie. The movie showed me the Catholics in Spain. In fact, they are in the city of Malaga. And you know, that's something interesting. Once a year, during the Easter time, they make the big procession with the huge sculpture which shows, you know, the Lady of Hope. And you know, they are just traveling along this narrow roads, narrow streets in the city, and trying to go to the sea and coming back with this. Well, what is interesting? Interesting is the fact that, you know, this sculpture, this throne of Lady of Hope, weighs 4.1 tons. What is interesting, it is 14 meters long, and it is 4 meters wide. So they need exactly 250 men to carry it and sing. And they have a special custom of carrying it. They are just making 2 steps forward and 2 steps backward, and forward and backward, and a little bit to the side, and you know, just waving all the time. They are going to the sea, and hundreds of people, well, thousands of people, crowds of people are around, and they are singing and adoring this sculpture, this monument, this throne, as they call, of the Lady of Hope. I thought about it, and I thought, well, what kind of God they are adoring? They are worshiping. What kind of God do we believe? Even calling ourselves Christians, that's something interesting, that we have a completely different picture of God, different idea who God is. So that's the reason that I decided to share with you something about prayer. And I called what you will see, you know, the topic of our worship, of our sermon today, just God of your prayer. It is very important to realize it, that we have to create our own picture of God if we are coming to Him in prayer. It is very important that we need some way of visualizing Him, and we need it to come to Him knowing if we can trust, if He's listening, who is He? By the way, a week ago we finished, you know, the week of prayer. That's something special for me in my personal spiritual life. Because once a year I realize that the whole world of Adventists, and not only Adventists, because many people are joining us, the whole world of believing Christians are coming to God in prayer every day. And realizing that our earth is just, our globe is just turning around each day. So it means that since morning till night and during the night, always somebody in this world is praying. Isn't it fantastic? I joined this week of prayer, and I was so happy that we studied something what is important, something what has the meaning, something what is so important in our life. What picture of God do we have? Well, just giving you two examples. One example will be very simple. If you realize that our God is a God of some kind of a tyrant, and He's just sitting on His throne, watching everywhere and sending, you know, like Zeus from the Olymp, you know, sending some lightnings, you know, towards us and punishing us all the time. How would you pray? Now think now about something different. Let's imagine that our God that we believe is some little, plump, mellow, spongy, bland, like Santa Claus. And we can just take Him and hug Him and, you know, do whatever we wish. How would you pray? Well, that's important what we think. I can tell you that I noticed something very interesting. You know, I'm visiting all my life, you know, many, many of people. And I have a custom that whenever I visit somebody, I love, in the end, to spend some time in prayer. So I ask people, may I pray for you? You know, what is the reaction? Well, mostly people say yes. But even this yes is different. Because sometimes they say yes and they are scared of prayer. They rather prefer that I would not pray. But if they say yes, sometimes, oh yes, we desperately need it. It helps me to pray. But at the same time, of the other kind of people I am thinking all the time, well, they need prayer. My dear friends, prayer is so important and so vital in our lives. And I would like to invite you now to look at one passage, the main passage for our study today. Let's come to the Gospel of Matthew. And you will see the verse on the screen. And the verse is telling us straight, you know, what we can understand. The seventh chapter of Matthew, in fact, it belongs, this passage, to the great Sermon on the Mount. And in the seventh chapter, we'll start to read from seventh verse. Look at this. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock at the door. Knock, and the door will be opened for you, to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, so you are evil, know how to give the good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? How important it is to pray, to ask, to seek, to knock. Well, but first of all, as we are praying, we have to realize that we need somebody who is going to listen. So I would like to start with the first title, subtitle of our studies. The title is, God is a Person. That's very important. God is the person. As I pray, I have to realize it. Well, why am I just underlining it and saying it so straight? I tell you. Because if God is a person, so he is not a mechanical cause of everything. Well, people think so. I still remember one man in Poland, his name was Anthony, and he told me, you know, God in my eyes is a universal power. Well, I don't say that God is not a universal power, but he is over that, a person. He has power, but he is not a power. Well, some people say he is the best principle for life. Well, he gives us the principle. He's the example how to live, but at the same time, he is a person. Some others will say something different. They will say that not a logical, he is the logical absolute. And I will say, no, even he is absolute in everything. Wait a moment, he is a person. He is not the basis of all existence. He is not the highest goodness. He is a person. And that's something what is so important for us. You know, we have to realize it, because that's something what is important. As we open the book of Hebrews, and then we see the author of this letter in the first chapter, in the first sentences, in the first words, will say us something very important. In the past, we read there, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir in all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Isn't it beautiful? Yes, dear friends. But we'll say, well, wait a moment. Is it so important to think about God as person? Absolutely, it is very important. You know, in the heart of our living faith, there is not a thing, not a mechanism, is God, personal God, living and loving person. So I'm using the prayer to come to him, and I'm using the prayer to come and praise God that he's perfect, that he's wonderful, and that it makes a lot for me. It means a lot for me. You know, I'm using the prayer that I can come and confess all my sins to him and tell, Lord, I have the problem with this and that. Help me. I don't know how to solve this problem. I don't know how to forget about some things. Help me. And he's doing it. I can come to him to thank him for all the blessings, for everything what I receive from all the for all the gifts. I can come to him as ask him for something what I need. I can come to him and ask him for some grace that he will send on other people, because this intercessory prayer is so important in our life. Yes, my dear friends, I put it even on the screen. And just remember, go to him. We can praise God for his perfection. We can confess to him all our sins. We can thank him for all the gifts he's giving. We can ask him for something we need. We can ask him for sending his grace on others. Well, I put it on a screen and I said it from my memory because I remembered what I am going to say. And I could make the longer list of these. I can say and say all the time, you know, what I can be praising God for, what he's doing for me. Think for a moment. Think for a moment what kind of God we have as we pray. We can just open to him our hearts and share with him everything. What do we have? Our aspirations, our tries, everything. Think for a moment that God... Oh, that's good. Let's change it. Think for a moment that God is not a person. What kind of God you are worshiping? Some power? Something? That would be something terrible. If God is not a person and he's not the being that can say about himself, I, what can we do? There would be something terrible. I want to show you the picture of one man. This is Paul Tillich. Paul Tillich was living, as you see, in the 19th and 20th century. He was German and American theologian, Protestant theologian, and philosopher. I read some books of him and some books about him. And there was something very interesting what I found. Because one of his students came to him one day as Dr. Tillich was very old that time and he was very sick and he was passing away. And he asked the question, Dr. Tillich, did you ever pray to God? You know what was the answer? No, but I meditated. He never believed that God is a person. There was a problem. He was just meditating, and I thought about it, and I said, well, how sad, how sad it is. What a poor man. He had nobody to talk. He could just meditate about God. That's not enough. God is a person, and it is so important. God is a person, and we can come to him, and we can be sure that he's listening. Well, then the next question came to my mind. Then I asked myself and I said, well, wait a moment, but is God really available? Yes, God is available, and it is very important for us as we pray. Jesus put our attention to this. He said, ask. He said, seek. He said, knock. Doesn't tell you that, you know, that if he's encouraging me to ask, so there is somebody who is available to hear, to do something what I'm asking for. If he tells me, seek. So it means for me that he is the person who is available and he is just waiting all the time that he would be found. The same with knocking. Oh, how important it is. I remember as I was working still in Poland, and one day, some of you know that I was working in the union of the church in Poland, and you know, one day we had very important thing to deal with, and we had to contact some officials in the government. So I tried to call, and it was impossible to reach the person. I called many times, and there was nothing. So I asked my secretary, and she was doing the same. And we were doing all the time, the whole day we were working. And in the end, there was a success. There was just a tape telling to us, if you have something, just record, and maybe you will reach you tomorrow. The whole day. But God is different. And that's a good news. His office hours never finish. We have the hotline straight to the throne of God. We can use the prayer just for this. And I can't imagine even life without prayer. He can listen to all of us at the same time, understanding everyone and knowing who we are. Isn't it beautiful? That's something special. That's something fantastic. You know, I will take you once again to the book of Hebrews, this time to the 10th chapter. Look at this, because this is something important what we have to read. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, but a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, this is his body, and since we have the great priest over the house of God, Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings during our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, how wonderful it is. How fantastic. In fact, the whole doctrine of prayer is hidden here in this verse, what we read. Everything. He is available. We can come to Him. We can come straight to Him, and He's going to listen to us. That's something. Christ's cross, and through this cross, the barrier was taken away, and we can come straight to Him. Yes, some people say, but wait a moment, Pastor. I'm a sinner. And God hates sin. How can I come to God, friend? I can't. I need somebody on the way who will be helping me to reach Him. It's not true. Because of His shed blood on the cross, we can come straight. And even He hates sin, He loves the sinner. And that's something. Think for a moment about it. Nowadays, television is shocking us with many things that we can see suddenly. We can hear some fantastic news. At the moment we hear what is happening on the other end of the world. We know so much nowadays. We have so many gadgets. Even now, you see I am here and there is nobody in front of me. And I know that somebody is listening and watching it. That's fantastic. So many gadgets, so many inventions, so many great things that we have. But that is everything, nothing comparing with the prayer that we have. God, who is available all the time, anytime, in each case, all the time, He is available for every one of us. Fantastic, isn't it? But there is not all. Another question came to my mind, and this question tells us that God is able to answer. Look at the screen. I want you to see it. God is able to answer our prayers. Not only He is available, but He is able. I still remember one story that was told one day as I was translating Pastor Phil Jones from US in one hall in Poland. It was in Warsaw. He told in his story that during one sermon that he was preaching in America, one man came to him and said, Pastor, can you answer just one question? Is God really able to forgive if I killed one person? Pastor Phil told me that his feeling was such that probably this man was a murderer, or maybe he was a soldier and during the war he killed somebody. He said, yes. God is full of love, and if you trust, if you believe, you can come to Him. He is able to forgive. But that man was not satisfied with the answer. He said, okay, it sounds nice. But if somebody killed 10 people? Well, Pastor Phil started to be a little bit suspicious. He said, 10? Well, I know that God is able to forgive everything. Then the man continued, what about 100 people? What about 1,000 people? What about 10,000 people? What about 1,000,000 of people? And Pastor Phil said, well, who are you? Why do you ask such questions? With the tears in his eyes, he said, I'm the pilot who sent the bomb on Hiroshima. So many people died, and I'm living with this guilt all the time. They knelt and they prayed. And Pastor Phil asking God, he is confessing, Lord, everything what he has done. Forgive him. You are the God of love. Do you believe in the same answer, in the same way? That's very important. Because in a verse in Matthew we read, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I underlined these words because that's something very important. God is not only Heavenly Father He's a creator. He's the ruler of the worlds. He has the power, but He's loving us so much that He wants to change everything for us, to forgive everything for us, to do everything for us what we need. You know, time is a messenger for God, and the history is just a revelation of His plan. Well, the prophet Daniel said something very interesting in context what we are just saying. Look at the screen, because all the verses, as I have a custom, you know, I put on the screen so you can read it. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" No one. That's fantastic. That's the kind of God we have. That's what we have to remember. The power is seen in miracles. The power is something special. The power is something what we should remember all the time. And this is something what we can find and what is so important. Well, it is beautiful what I show you now, because they are the lyrics of one song, beautiful song. "Though I coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for His grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." Have you ever heard about George Mueller? George Mueller was living, he was born in 1805, and you know, he was living for 93 years because he passed away in 1898. He is very well known as a great Christian evangelist, but he was not born as evangelist. As a young boy, he was converted, that's true, and he started to do the tremendous work. Even he was German, he decided to move to England, and he was living there. He dreamt to go to Israel and to preach only to the Jews, to convert them, but it didn't work. So for a long time, he was working and organizing many, many beautiful, in many places, he organized beautiful orphanages. And in fact, for thousands of orphans, he helped many people. George Mueller was serving, and people were amazed. He was a good colleague of Spurgeon, great preacher. He was a good colleague also of Dwight... I flew out of my mind the name, you know, another preacher, great preacher, but anyhow, he was preaching everywhere, and many times then he was preaching every day for 3 or 4 times. But what was the most typical for this man? He started, and he's known as a man of prayer. Can you believe Mueller was reading the Bible all the time and find some new reasons for praying to God? He was reading the Bible so many times, and especially in the last 17 years of his life, he read the Bible 4 times a year. Amazing. But he started to be the man of prayer. In one orphanage, where suddenly they ran off all the sources, they had no food, and they had no money to buy. He came with all the children in the cafeteria, and he said, "Let us pray for what God has given us." And that moment, children were looking at the tables. They were empty. There was nothing on the tables. And they were shocking. But Mueller was praying, "God, I know that You provide every time something for the people in need. You will do something." As he finished his prayer, suddenly somebody was knocking at the door. They opened. There was a baker from the city. It was in Bristol in England. And the man came with a whole basket of bread. And he said, "You know, God has just woke me up during the night. I couldn't sleep. I went to the bakery and I started to bake the breads especially for you. Later, as this man left, suddenly another man came. And he came, you know, with all the pots of milk for children. That's what happened. But George Müller is especially known for another event. It happened that in 1870 he decided to be the evangelist, the missionary, and he went in being invited to America. I'm smiling now because now came again the name that I have forgotten before. There was Dwight Moody, very, very well-known preacher that he was working with. And George Müller was going by ship to America. As he traveled, suddenly, one moment, one day, the ship stopped. As Müller noticed that all the engines stopped also working, he went to the captain and asked, "Captain, what's happened?" And he said, "I stopped the ship because there is a fog, and there is so density of it is so great that there is no way that will come from this." Müller asked, "How long will it take?" "Oh, I'm sailing here all the time for so many years. I know that sometimes I have to wait for a whole week just waiting for the fog to disappear." Müller said, "Well, then it's impossible, so, because I have to be on time. God sent me to Canada, and I'm going to preach there. So that's the reason, Captain, we have to go. Let us come and pray." They went to the little room of Captain, and they knelt. Müller prayed a very short prayer. "God, you are the powerful God. You are able to do everything. I just pray that this fog will disappear in 5 minutes." As he said amen, the captain started to pray, but Müller stopped him. Stop, captain. I see that you are not believing that it's possible, so there is in vain your prayer. But let's go out to the deck, because probably the fog already started to disappear." And it did. And they moved the ship and came on time to Canada. God is available. God is able to do the tremendous things. Are you encouraged by such experiences of other people, people of prayer? Are you a person who pray in the same way, believing that God will do everything? Dear friends, I encourage you to pray. But let me just go to another question. That is a very important question. I ask myself, okay, I know that God is a person. I know that He's listening. I know that He's able to answer the prayer. But is He willing? Is He willing to answer? Well, awareness of this all the things that I mentioned just now is for me really encouraging. But it is not enough to add the answer for this question. Ask, seek, knock. You know what I noticed? I checked yesterday, especially in a Greek dictionary, just to be sure, what is the real meaning of the word that is translating ask? And it's not just say it once, "Lord, I ask you for." The Greek meaning means stay asking all the time. Stay seeking all the time. And knock all the time. What a meaning. But Jesus goes a little further, comparing it with our behavior. Look at the verse that we read already, but that's very important. Matthew 7:11. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Yes, how much more? Do you know any parents who have the satisfaction if they do something wrong or if they do something against their children? I don't know. I look even in my children, as they have their own children now, my grandchildren, and I look how they care, what they do. They try to find out something best always for their children. That's typical for the parents. That's something what I used to say, and I will show you in a moment why I'm saying it. I used to say, that's, and it's really important, there is something that, you know, like a little drop of God's mercy in our hearts. Even we are evil, we can feel it. You know why I use this? Because I found a beautiful statement said by John Calvin, the great reformer, French theologian and pastor. You know, Calvin said something like this: if those little drops have such effect in our lives, what hope we can have from the inexhaustible ocean? And God is such an ocean of grace. But if we think that our Father in heaven went so far that he sent his only Son to die on the cross, to suffer not only the cross, but to suffer the whole life here, that he was not accepted, rejected. Do you think that God is not interested in helping us? He's not interested in coming and meeting our needs? Do you think that God is not interested in doing something special for us? For us who have the selfish desires? I found two beautiful verses, and they are the last verses that I want to quote today. They are in a book of Psalms. In 66 Psalm, verse 18 and 19 are such beautiful. If I have cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Isn't it beautiful? God hears our prayers. And David is saying it, and he's sure of this. I quoted before one verse that was from this beautiful hymn by the very well-known writer of many lyrics to the hymn, John Newton. Oh, by the way, you know that John Newton has composed this fantastic song, Amazing Grace. But you know, I tell you, there are many others. And those lyrics, you know, in these old hymns are the great sermons. They are telling something fantastic. I will remind you the first stanza of the song that I quoted before. They were coming to the king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. In the same hymn, he has written another words. My soul believe and pray, without a doubt believe. Whereas we ask in God's way, we surely shall receive. Yes, dear friends, this is something what counts. This is something what is so important. So, what kind of God you are praying to? And if you are not praying so often, why it happens to you? What kind of God you are praying? And you have some doubts, why do you keep the doubts? We can come and approach him. He's waiting with open eyes, with open arms, with open hearts, waiting for us to come and to pray. Let us do it now. Dear Lord, I know that you are hearing us. I know that you love us. I know that you are a person. I know that you are willing to answer, and you are listening to all our prayers, and you are able to do everything. We know it. And so easy we forget it. And that's the reason we don't find the pleasure in praying. Lord, now I pray that you will change us, that you will touch our hearts through your Spirit, that you will mold us, you will shape us according to your will in such a way that we'll follow you always. And what a pleasure to talk to you. Lord, you know my heart also. And you know that I love to talk to you. Just telling you about all my days, about my stories and my mistakes. And I know that you are listening. So I pray that you will help all of us who are listening now and have some desires to grow in our prayer life, that you will bless us and strengthen us and lead us in the times we are living now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, dear friends, this is all. Will you find the time today to pray? To talk to God? Will you find the time today just to tell him what you feel, how you feel, and what you want to achieve? Talk to him. He's the best friend, and that's what I wish you for the rest time of this beautiful Sabbath. May God bless you.